Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am very excited about this week's show because my special guest interview is with LinkedIn expert Niall Nickel. Now, the fun part is that in addition to being a good friend of mine, Niall's also a coaching member in one of my mastermind groups that I lead. And as a favor to me, Niall presented kind of a mini seminar on LinkedIn strategies for the group. And it was just really, really great information. I knew after the meeting, I kind of leaned back in my chair and said, I have to share this information with the listeners of Stick Like Glue Radio. Let me tell you a little bit about Niall. Niall's the CEO and president of Revenue Assurance Holdings and the family of RAH companies, which provide outsourced business services to the telecommunication industry, including an internet-based FACTA complaint document management system that includes encryption, collection, storage, reporting, and retrieval of these documents. You know, I have no idea what all that meant, but I know Niall's one smart dude, and he does very well. But with everything else he has going on, and he does so many things, Niall is just really, really great at LinkedIn. So let's jump into my mastermind group of a couple weeks ago, and let's hear Niall Nickel share some great strategies on LinkedIn.
Based on your survey that you just did, Jim, I'm going to tailor to two things, SEO and list building, and through LinkedIn. Now, all of the things that we've talked about will relate, but I can only focus on a couple of topics, and of course, then I'll even lightly address them. But LinkedIn could very easily help you probably better than any other tool that I know out there with both of those items. In fact,
well, that's fantastic. That's going to take what's already a good presentation right up to a AAA gold star. So thank you.
So it'll get modified just a bit here, but let me give you a little bit of my background with LinkedIn. I'd realized that I had just done a very poor job of managing my personal network. You know, just collecting the business cards and making sure that I talk to people regularly and all of that. And this was a few years ago now, probably back in 2008. And I decided if I was going to do a better job and improve that, I was going to do it with modern tools. So I started looking at LinkedIn, and I started experimenting with LinkedIn, and I made lots of mistakes with LinkedIn. And we could go through all of the things that you don't want to do. The only thing that I tell you with a big caution flag is when you go to LinkedIn and if you haven't really imported your address book, you want to do that, but absolutely positively make sure that you don't check the box that lets them solicit or invite all of your address book. You don't want to do that. Long story, but simple lesson is you just don't want to do that. Nevertheless, I started building, and I didn't really realize how good of a job I was doing until I went over 10,000 personal connections. And when I did, I had a couple of organizations contact me to say, hey, great job and all of that, but also invite me to some things that took my experience and learning to another level on LinkedIn, which has just been outstanding. So I've been at it a few years and have been around a number of LinkedIn experts, learned a lot, and I'd like to share some of that with you. So just to give you the background of where I'm coming from. But when I get questions about LinkedIn, most often the question relates to what is LinkedIn and why should I spend more time on it? And everybody knows, and LinkedIn's advertised as a business-to-business social network or a resume-sharing social network. And it is that. However, that's the worst advertisement for what it is on the face of the earth. And if that's the way you think of it, it's not very exciting, and you probably wouldn't get very far with it. And in that explanation, what you hear is you hear that it's a primarily a B2B platform, and yes, it is, and yes, it's the best one out there. But it's also B2C and C2C, and that's what most people miss. So let me answer the question, what is LinkedIn? And I'm going to give you my definition, not the definitions you're going to find out there. LinkedIn is the absolute best personal branding and personal SEO tool available, period, bar none. One of the things that you guys were talking about, and I think, Deborah, you might have mentioned it, when you had talked about the way Google changes their algorithms all the time. If you happen to use SEO as a search engine positioning tool for you or your brand or both, then you've got organic results and you're not influenced by those algorithm changes. So here's where I'm going to talk about some specific tips for a minute. I assume that all of you have a LinkedIn profile. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
Okay. So if you've got your LinkedIn profile, there's two things that are right at the top of the profile when you create it. One is your name. And if you've got a common name, and I'm going to pick on you, Jim, like Jim Palmer, how do you differentiate that name? Well, just because it says name and it's a name field, and you'll see this quite frequently in LinkedIn, and I think it's a good idea in certain circumstances, is your name could be Jim Palmer, hyphen, the newsletter guru. It differentiates you. And as a search engine positioning tool, it's going to help you get results if somebody's looking for a newsletter guru. But more importantly, the next thing down in your profile is the headline that appears right under your name. And in that headline, you have 120 characters. They're very precious characters. And so you want to think about those characters, and you want to use them elegantly. So, you know, one of the things that you don't want to put there is if you happen to put your company name as part of your branding in your name, obviously don't repeat it there. Unless your company name is extremely important for your branding, don't put your company name there. Don't put your position there. But sort of answer the question you want search engine results for. For example, if I wanted to get results off of any of the search engines, Google, Bing, whatever it might be, for LinkedIn, as a LinkedIn expert, then I would probably put in the headline the premier LinkedIn expert, and if I wanted to geographically restrict that, I might say in the United States or in North America or whatever. If I didn't, I might leave it at that. But what you're going to get out of that, and you're going to get it in a very short period of time, typically less than 4 hours, but in every case that I've ever seen in less than a day, you're going to start to get Google rankings for those keywords in the search engines almost immediately. You know, that's a huge tip there, and you don't want to run past that. Spend time thinking about what you want to do with your name. Spend time on that headline. The headline is so critical.
Hey, Dale, can I ask you a question there real quick?
Absolutely.
If you change your name now, You know, if I already have that stuff done like I already do, if I go back in there and change it, it's just as effective as if I would have done it originally, right?
It absolutely is. And Stuart, you also led me, at least I believe that, Stuart, you led me to the sort of another tip, and this is a sort of a ninja tip, if you will. One of the things that you might want to do for multiple reasons, every time you make a change in your profile, you get a new Google spidering, and you get a new Bing spidering, and so on and so forth. So if you want to keep search engines like fresh content, correct? So one of the things that you want to do is you want to change your profile frequently. And I don't care if you add a space and delete a space. Yes, is that a little bit of a ninja trick? Yes. But it's viewed as a new profile when you do that. And two things will happen. One is you'll get re-spidered by the search engines. But the second thing that will happen is you'll appear on top of the feed in LinkedIn. And if you're using LinkedIn as one of your marketing tools, as you probably should be, you want to appear in the top of that feed on a regular basis. So when you're doing that, if you will, another couple of ninja tricks is when you get 10 invitations, don't accept all 10 of them at one time. Accept them multiple times throughout the day or maybe even over 2 days. Because every time you accept an invitation or you accept 10 or 100 or whatever, you appear in the feed. So you could take those 10, and rather than appearing once in the feed that says you've got 10 new connections, you could appear 10 times in that feed that you've got a new connection. So staying in front of mind with people you're connected with will, if you will, raise your social status with those people in your network.
That was a big one, Niall. That was a big one for me because, you know, I get friend requests fairly frequently, almost daily, and sometimes when I go in there to answer one, there's like five others, and I just bing, bing, bing and get them all done, but now I don't do that.
Yeah, and it will make a difference. And we don't have time to talk about this, but there's ways to analyze the results that you're getting in that difference on your LinkedIn page. Basically, there's LinkedIn analytics. And we're not going to have time to talk about any of that today, but you could analyze what difference that is and actually evaluate how effective that is. So if you happen to do just those two things, and those two things alone, you're going to get some tremendous search engine results. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you are in front of your computer right now, but if you are, Google my name, Niall Nickel, and N-I-L-E, and then N-I-C-K-E-L. If you do that, what you'll see is either the first or second result on your Google screen after you come up with the Google results for my name.
It's first.
Will be LinkedIn.
It's first LinkedIn, second Facebook, third Twitter.
And I bet you if you look at the top 10, there's things from LinkedIn that will appear there four times. Probably.
Yeah, the way it's doing is it's giving you your page, then it's doing your profile, both LinkedIn. Then it goes to Facebook. And it's going to render differently for each of us if we're across the country because it's delivering results based on our individual searching habits. Even if you turn search off and say don't do that, the algorithm has that built in.
Absolutely.
Google at least.
Absolutely. So, you know, I used to say that you'll get top results 100% of the time every time if you do this. You can't say that, and Deborah, you're right, because you get different results depending on a number of factors. But nevertheless, you'll notice that LinkedIn's giving tremendous results there. So, use that to your advantage. As a matter of fact, as Jim mentioned, one of my key business segments is something called cellular reconciliation. Cellular like cellular telephones and reconciliation like reconciling your bank account. And if you happen to type in cellular reconciliation, again, you'll notice that I get top search results for that. And I get business from that all the time. So spend time on your profile and just deal with the name and the headline. Now, by the way, your whole profile matters, but for the top search engine rankings and results, those two things will make all the difference in the world. So let's move on to another topic, and I think it's the last one we're probably going to have time to talk about, Jim. But we talked about that list building, and LinkedIn is absolutely, in fact, I think this is probably the greatest power of LinkedIn. If you are in front of LinkedIn, go ahead and do this. If you're not, then just make a couple of notes and do it after the fact. But if you're on LinkedIn, up at the main top menu bar, under where it says Add Connections, most likely, the second line that starts with Home, Profile, Contact, all the way to the right-hand side, at the far end, it says Advanced. I don't know if you've used that or even if you know what it is or it's there. That's the most powerful feature in LinkedIn, in my opinion. But go ahead, if you're there, and click on it. And if you click on it, what you'll see is it brings you to a search screen. And the search screen lets you search by a number of different things. You could search by people. You could search by company. You could search by a number of different things. But you could put in keywords, first names, last names. You could go within a certain geographical area by putting in a postal code and going within a certain number of miles of it. You could limit it by industries, whatever you'd like to limit it by. But if let's say that you're looking for accountants who are interested in marketing, you might use the keyword marketing, and you might limit your search to accounting or financial. And if you then do a search, and that's not a good enough search all by itself. You might put where you went to school, maybe your favorite football team. Why am I saying those things? Because now what you're doing is you're finding how you resonate specifically with that list as well. So I was working with a client, and that particular client's a CPA, and he was looking for business clients. And so he went in and he looked for small business owners. He looked for people within 50 miles of his office, and he looked for people that went to school where he went to school. And he did that search, and it returned a couple hundred people. And he then started a process of connecting with those individuals and writing them sort of a personalized email through LinkedIn, through the in-mail process. And he has found that his conversion rate to converting them at least to his list from that process is about 40%.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Niall will have more great tips and strategies to share with you about using LinkedIn to grow your business. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this: "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
All right, we're back. So let's get right back to LinkedIn expert Niall Nickel.
So it really allows you to micro-focus and micro-target on your list in a way that resonates with you.
Niall, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I hope this isn't a dumb question. Well, there's no such thing. Shame on me. Is this searching for people to connect with, or is this filters for how people will find you when they're searching?
Good question, Jim. Not a bad question at all. This is actually searching through the profiles that are contained in LinkedIn to find people that match that search criteria. So, if I was interested in small business clients, or better yet, I had a client that wanted to massage envy business owners, and I wanted all the massage envy business owners in Florida, then I could get Massage MD, owner, Florida, and I could do the search, and lo and behold, here's the, whatever it is, 75 business owners of Massage MD locations in Florida.
Wow.
And by the way, you're not paying for that. Or, you might be paying your $4.95 or $9.95 or $19.99 membership, depending on where you're at in LinkedIn. But it gives you...
Now, Niall,
very powerful result.
Now, going on the list building thing, do people put in their mailing address? Or I think I just put in like Chester County or something like that. Or I don't actually recall what I did, but can you put in your mailing address, but not everybody does, or what?
There isn't really a place in LinkedIn to do that, and people typically don't do that. I'm not saying you're not going to find it, but that's not the typical case.
This is a way to connect with people on LinkedIn and hopefully take it to the next level. This isn't like exporting, a list with mailing information.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
You're going to create an online list here, not an offline list. If you want to take it offline, then you have to go through that conversion process as well.
Okay.
And then finally, maybe a couple of things that you also don't want to ignore. I mentioned profile. But you also want to make sure your company has a company page. If you go on there, I think that's off the home search, and you go over to companies, you could see how to set up a company page if you don't have one. If you don't have one, you want to do that too for all of the same reasons that we've just talked about.
So this is very much like a profile page and a fan page on Facebook?
It is.
I didn't know that. That's new, too. Whew, man, so much to learn.
But there's another thing here, and I think it's going to be the final thing that we have any time for, and that is understanding the power of LinkedIn groups. Probably one of the greatest advantages that you have on LinkedIn is the groups. And I encourage everybody to start their own group. And it's amazing. You might think there's already groups out there I don't have much of a group to start. I started a group for wireless professionals a few years ago. And all I've done is I've made sure it's a closed group. And so only wireless professionals get in the group. Each one of their applications for group memberships reviewed and their profiles reviewed before they're accepted. But in doing that, I now have over 4,000 members in wireless professionals that are C-level or owner executives of wireless companies in the world, primarily in North America. That's, in my business, my targeted client base. And that that group grows at about 40 to 60 new members a week. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. I've created the environment and the meeting place for that. I have not done intentionally, at this point in time, I've not done anything to advertise, invite, or lead the discussion in that group. I've just created a safe environment for them to carry on a discussion. And I do periodically post in there and some things like that. But I think you could look at that group. There's over 4,000 key targeted members from my group there. Now, likewise, there are other groups that are in the area that I do business. So I could go in those groups and I could comment. I could enter the discussion. I could do things like that. And interestingly enough, a lot of those people will then want to not only personally connect with you, but follow you back to your group. But they've also raised their hand and they've identified themselves as having an interest in whatever, obviously, the group is. So there's two powerful areas to work there, and there's a whole lot more to talk about. Again, this is just sort of a quick overview. And then I know that you probably want to open it up for some questions, Jim, so I should save some time for that.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you have something else?
I was going to say, I just sort of took a U-turn and I targeted towards the SEO and the list building stuff.
No, that's great.
I have a question. Niall, on when you were talking about how we could do the advanced search, I put in a keyword phrase, and then I put in a hobby, and it pulled up a list, and with that list, what I saw was a long list of people. If I was going to try to connect with those people individually, someone I heard speak recently suggested you pick the people with not very many connections because they're more likely people wanting to make connections than people who have a lot of connections. How do you go through a criteria of knowing who to send invitations to and how do you send the invitation?
Great question. Let me add a part B because I love the question. And then is it preferable or is it more advantageous to reach out individually or is there a way to do it en masse without it looking spammy?
Let me answer your question first, Jim, because it's an easier question. The only way to answer en masse is if it happens to be in a group posting or you're trying to communicate with the group. There isn't really an en masse communication other than through groups, which also matches Facebook, by the way. So you use the groups for that issue. But, Deborah, that was a in fact, I'm so happy you brought that question up. There is something in the LinkedIn world that doesn't exist in a lot of social media networks. It does in LinkedIn, and it's called I Don't Know or IDK. And if you get too many IDKs, and too many might be the number two, then LinkedIn will turn off your ability to invite people unless you have their personal email address. So you don't want to get the IDK slap from LinkedIn. So I could tell you what I do, and I implemented this strategy a few years ago, and I haven't had a problem since I've implemented this strategy. I personally disagree with the advice you were given very strongly. I have found that people that don't have very many connections are very protective about their connections, and Jim and I have talked about this issue. In the LinkedIn world, any real connection, meaning that it's not a fake profile or something, any real connection is a good connection. And I could talk more about that, but let's just go on past that for a minute. But when you start to see people that have greater than 500 connections, what it tells you about them is they're more willing to accept connections from people that maybe they don't know extremely well. So I think when you are approaching somebody like this and you say, hey, I see that we have the same interest. You know, we're both trying to do some of the same things. We went to the same school. We both like dogs, you know, whatever it may be. Now you're sounding more personal and more friendly, and they're more inclined to accept it, even if they don't know you well. But the people that have, you know, less than a couple hundred connections, I get really nervous about inviting unless I really know them well. And so I don't. And I actually discourage people from doing that. As a matter of fact, the person I told you that was a client, that was an accountant that was looking for clients, he said, well, most of these small business owners only have a few connections. And he started trying to have a dialogue get a better relationship with them. And I think he started with 10 and he got 2 IDKs and LinkedIn shut him off. So he went back and he implemented what I had said originally, which is look for people that have 500 or greater connections. And he hasn't had a problem since. So I say look for the people that have 500 plus connections.
All right, so we're really pretty much out of time here, but I want to, does anybody else have a kind of a quick question, hopefully, that Niall
Julie
can answer? Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I was just wondering the strategy, and thank you. The information is wonderful. I was just wondering, you know, like I'm in the childcare industry. I pull up childcare directors and owners. I get over 3,000. Is the strategy just to start sending them a general email to say, hello, I'd like to connect, that sort of thing? And then see if they accept my invitation to connect. And then that takes an upgraded membership through LinkedIn, right, to be able to do that?
Yeah, you want to be careful about how to approach that. But, yes, that's the way to approach it. And the more you could personalize that to them, like I noticed we're both child care owners in Florida or in California or Colorado, wherever, and, you know, we went to the same school or something like that. So you start with a smaller set. But you start with the set that you really have an awful lot in common.
What if you're fire for that business? So I deal in staff motivation. Do I introduce myself as a staff motivation expert?
And how I work with child programs? This is where the testing comes in. You're going to find out that some things work better than others. But what always works better than not is the more you have in common and the more you can personalize it.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim, I know we're out of time, but this is important based on Julie's question.
Okay.
And my question. Can we just add a little to this?
Yeah, sure.
So, Niles, if we're in here and we're inviting somebody that we've done an advanced search and we see we're connected to them through 10 other people, or this or that, but we've never met them. Do we go in and we invite them on LinkedIn, and how do you know, Daphne? Do you pick I don't know, or do you? What do you pick out of the list?
If you pick I don't know,
you get in trouble.
It's going to ask you for an email address.
Right.
What it's going to ask you for. So look for groups that you might have in common. And this is where I say groups are also a powerful tool. Because, again, if you're looking for people in common industries or in an industry that you're targeting, then there's going to be groups. And you're going to find that most people are involved in multiple groups. So join the group. And if you join the group, you'll notice if you go to do an invitation, which also helps you, you select that you're members of the same group.
Right. I did that, but I'm not getting groups to pull up for some silly reason.
The only reason that groups wouldn't pull up is if there were no groups in common.
I see. Okay.
You have to have groups in common. So you have to be a member of the same group they're a member of. Now, you said that there's people that are connected or that you know. Don't be afraid to ask for an invitation. It's like, hey, I see you're connected to this person and you know, I'm interested in connecting with them. We have a lot in common. Would you mind giving me an introduction?
Okay. I have over 500. I think I'm somewhere around 700, but I'm trying to get up there higher.
I'd love to give you more, but I know that we're out of time. So at this point in time, go ahead, Jim.
I just want to thank you so much. I mean, God, the information was awesome. And do you put you on the spot? Do you still have that report that you wrote, or is that did that come down?
No, the report's still up there. It will be up there probably. It'll be up there for a while yet. But if
you
want to go to GrowLinks, which is GrowLinks.com, without any registration or anything, they could pull that report down.
Spell it again.
Grow, GROW, L, and then links, LINX.com, growlinks.com.
And I'm going to endorse that because I listen to Niall Nichols stuff, and I've got almost 1,700 direct connects, and I've got business off of it. So I would listen to this stuff. Now you've given us some great stuff.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Roger.
It all started with Jim Palmer's interview of you about a year ago. I listened to
thank you.
I keep bringing Niall back. He's a crowd pleaser, that's for sure.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend and systems expert and LinkedIn expert, Niall Nichols. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving your business forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.